name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Saint Cyril says that it was out of compassion that the disciples came to Jesus Christ and said, "Send the multitude away." In other words, it's getting late. What are we going to do? We are in a deserted place. There is nothing that we have in our hand. And this was because they were beginning to feel the compassion of service that anybody who is in service starts to feel for the people they serve. And this can happen at the very lowest level. Let me tell you, when a woman goes home on Saturday night and she's tired and she's got other things to do, and she cooks to bring food on Sunday to the church, this is service. This is service. And she should rightly be thinking about the people that she's serving. What do the people like? What has been popular? What do I see that everybody, you know, the plate's always empty when this comes, so I'm going to get some more of that. That type of service, the service that people do in the church when they do things that are hidden, the people that clean. You know, the church has a bunch of kids running around in it, and like all children, they don't pick up after themselves the right way. Somebody does that. Somebody takes care of making sure the floors are clean and the trash is emptied. This is service. People take care of our children intellectually as they serve in the service of Sunday school to teach the core curriculum of the Orthodox Church. And these are all things, you know, it's not just, you know, the priest or the bishop or the deacons. There are many, many types of service in the church. And a lot of times, you know, they may go unacknowledged by you, but I'm asking you to remember now and to pray. Because the nascent beginning, the beginning of an idea to exist in a person to help others, is at the core of Christianity. To help one another. Not to be jealous of one another or to be competitive with one another, but to actually help, to see what I can do. And the lesson in here, this is why we have the 5 loaves and the 2 fish so many times throughout the year. It's because it was so little that was offered. It was nothing. It's ludicrous. 5 loaves and 2 fish for 5,000 men, plus, in my estimation, 5,000 women, plus, in my estimation, the kids that they drag along that were, you know, not going to be involved in school or some other activity. I mean, lots of people were there. Not 5,000. More like 12,000. I like that number because 12 is a good number in the symbology of our church. But what an offering. Who would offer it? Where does the boldness come from? You know, we have to pick up books. Do you realize that? We have to pick up books and put them away. Now, some people think that when they stack them neatly on a table, they've picked up a book. They haven't picked up a book. But stacking them, even that small thing, it's a beginning. It's a beginning. It's better than having the books strewn about the church, is it not? So it's this nascent awareness, an awareness that is beginning to exist about the cooperative element of community. Because that's what community is. If you don't have a community, then you are the most lonely person. It's the person who walks the streets of New York City where there are 12 million people and they feel lonely. How can you feel lonely amongst 12 million? Well, it's easy. It's easy. There's no connection. You feel nothing. You feel nothing. Nothing for anybody. So the Lord is bringing them into this, and he says further, yes, you're right. They need to eat. You give them something to eat. What are we going to do? We don't have any food. There's a small child here that has 5 barley loaves. I'll get into the symbology of barley loaves in a minute. and two fish. But what are these amongst all so many? That's what it says in another gospel. The Lord is trying to teach them it's not the amount that you have. It's not what you come with. It's what are you going to do when there is absolutely nothing in your pocket. Suppose you don't have the five loaves and the two fish. Do you imagine the people would have gone without? Was not the Lord who gave the Israelites manna in the wilderness, the bread from heaven, the same one who is standing before them now? Does he need five loaves and two fish? No. But he's saying, what you are going to do in order to get the blessing is you're going to pray. I want to teach you to pray. So few people do that. There's a story that I heard from, you know, Ramses Wassef. Some of you know the name Ramses Wassef. He's at St. John's. He's a guy a little younger than me. Anyway, he was a contemporary of the son of Abuna Mikhail Ibrahim. And Ramses Wassef had loaned the son of Abuna Mikhail Ibrahim his swimsuit. And they were in Alexandria. And Ramses wanted to go swimming. So he came to get his swimsuit. The son wasn't there. Abuna was, but Abuna didn't know where he put it. They searched. They couldn't find it. So Abuna said, let us pray. And you know, like me, I say, I'm praying for a swimsuit. okay, Lord, Ocean Pacific. No, it's a ludicrous proposition. I'm praying for a swimsuit. But he said such a thing to Abuna Mikhail Ibrahim. And Abuna responded and said, we pray for large things in front of the Lord. The large and the small, they're the same in front of the Lord. So let us pray. So they prayed, and as he finished his prayer, in walks the son of Abuna Mikhail Ibrahim and goes to where he had put the swimming trunks and hands in the trunks. Now, this is a real story. It's one that you can confirm by speaking to Ramses Wassef. It was told me by many people because Abuna Mikhail had an effect on so many. And yet we're modern, aren't we? What do I need to pray for? I'm going to pray. You remember the name of this despicable character, Abuna Athanasius Paul? He's a thief. He's a liar. He's a cheat. He's a guy who was never even a Christian before Pope Shenouda baptized him. He was never even a Christian. He was a Jehovah's Witness. And before and after that, he was Seventh-day Adventist. How do we know this? Because Abuna Antonius Hanayan of blessed memory, Abuna Ibrahim Aziz, and myself, we paid $100 each to give to Wyan and Associates, a private investigation firm, who did a background search on this person and found him to be, amongst other things, a liar of the first rate, a con man of the first rate. I brought him into my house one time. I took him out with Mary and Macarius, my children, and we ate some Chinese food together. I was going to try to rehabilitate this guy, and I brought him into the house. And in my house, I have a prayer room and an altar. And I said, will you pray for us? Oh, I can't pray. Oh, you know, pray for us. You know, just pray for us. The guy made a big pretense. I thought he was going to fly. He stepped forward. His hands came out like this. And he said, our Father who art in heaven. And then he was done. He was done. There was no prayer of thanksgiving. There's no Psalm 50. There was no praying. The guy can't pray. He can't pray today. If you go on social media, you'll find his name. His name is either Robert... what's his last name now? Can't remember his last name. But Athanasius Paul was the name that he was given in ordination. It was one of the worst events in the life of Pope Shenouda. It was a big mistake, and Pope Shenouda, of course, is a man who's not really used to being lied to, so he didn't have his guard up, and he accepted everything that this man said. Robert Thompson is his name. Robert Thompson, sometimes Rob Thompson, sometimes Pastor Rob. Real stories. I'm saying this over the internet. This is not true, I can be sued. This is absolutely the truth. He can't pray. He can't pray. Well, neither can a bunch of us. If I said, okay, pray for me. Our Father who art in heaven. Help Babun Bashoy. Amen. That's it. I'm done. Right? So learning to pray is a part of getting the blessing from God. It's a big part. It's not a small part. It's a big part. Reveal your heart. Reveal the fact that you know that the Lord is necessary. So that's what he taught, the Lord, to his disciples. And then he told them, make them sit down in groups of 50. He could as easily have said 75 or 100. But notice that in everything that is good and purposeful, there is order. If you were here in the Diocese of Los Angeles in the 70s, when a priest was handing out the eulogia, the baraka, the people would storm in like a horde. It looked like cattle, like a wildebeest herd trying to cross a narrow section of river, trying to get to the Orban. People would walk up the back of one another trying to get it. Slowly, Abuna Antonio Sanayan started it. This row, then this row. This row, then this row. And there began slowly to have order appear. But it wasn't because Abuna Antonius was a martinet, a strict militarian. He wasn't. He was just somebody who understood that there is order. That there's order. And in order, there is a recognition of each individual person. Because here in the second row, we have a couple of kids. In the first row, we have one kid. Even though they are in the first and second row, adults can easily trample over them and get to the Orban. They're taller. Their arms will reach farther. But that's not how it's done, is it? There is order. So he said, sit down in groups of 50. Now there's another place where it says, because there was much grass. So there was a verdant pastoral place. It was a place where it was like the sort of place someone would go for a picnic. But the Lord blessed and he broke and he gave to his disciples to serve. And then he said, in service, you will find reward. You will find reward in service. The person who cleans the floors finds reward in service. The people who empty the trash will find reward in service. The people who teach in Sunday school will find reward in service. The people who make the food will find reward in service. And the sign is, you will have abundance above all. So what is the abundance? Do you need a basket of food? No. You do not need a basket of food. What you need is a basket of certainty, of surety, of certitude. You need the sense that you can ask and it will be fulfilled. You need to know that this is the Lord's house and I have given to the Lord's house. I have tithed. And tithing, by the way, I'll say this a million times. The Lord wants 10% of you, which is your creativity, your experience, your education, your intellect, your strength. Lastly, your money. Lastly, your money. He wants you. He wants you to do something, to be a part. Okay. And so the disciples were heartened. They had each a basket for themselves. Their hunger, though they were the last to be fed, would be fully assuaged. Now, coming back to the barley loaves, it's important to know that when something like this, it's not written in this particular gospel. Let me take a look, because we prayed the same gospel. It's not in Matthew, it's not in Mark, and this is... Well, as usual, I can't find what I'm looking for. But anyway, it says barley loaves in one of the Gospels. So, what's the importance about the barley loaf? The fathers of the church look at the symbology, and they say it is like the five books of Moses, the five barley loaves. Right, follow me. This and I mean, when I say the followers of the church, I don't mean to be unclear. Really, the person who said this is Saint Ambrose of Milan. So, if you want a specific name to go to look this up, the five barley loaves are like the five books of Moses. You have to probe them in order to find the word of God in there. I don't mean the word of God in a literal sense. I mean Jesus Christ specifically. But you can find, as the Samaritan woman said to Jesus at the well, and the Samaritan only had the Pentateuch, the Torah, the five books of Moses, we know that the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will tell us all things. This you can glean from that. The barley is one of the toughest grains you can find. It has a hull around it that is almost impenetrable. But when you do break that barley grain open, the interior is very rich and nutritious. It's the same way. You have to work, and you have to work deeply to see in the symbol system of the Pentateuch the person of Jesus Christ, but he is there for those who do the work. So this was the first of their things. The second thing is, there's another gospel that talks about the feeding of the 4,000. Now, the feeding of the 4,000 was accomplished with how many loaves? Seven. Seven loaves. So they talk about, here you have the Pentateuch, the Torah, with the five loaves. With the seven loaves, you have the mysteries of the church and the incarnation of Jesus Christ. And then they say, and they go one step further, and the eighth loaf is the body and the blood of Jesus Christ on the altar. Again, the meditation of Saint Ambrose of Milan. Now, I say these things to you simply because there are always layers of meaning where you can draw certain inferences from this. I've spoken so many times about this, and if you go over the messages, you will find that every single message is different. Since we do this many times a year, it might be interesting for somebody to look at the different points and put them all together. I don't have a computer, so I can't do this myself. But I know that when you look at any text in the Bible and you pray, there are layers that become almost as though through a hidden mystery apparent, which in a previous reading were hidden to you. You read, you didn't understand, you didn't see, you thought you knew, but you read again, and oh, look at this. So this is the wealth, and this is the richness, and this is why the fathers of the church have chosen that the multiplication of the loaves, this very simple text, hungry people, deserted place, five loaves, two fish, what are we going to do? You feed them. We don't know what to do. The Lord prays. There's the multiplication. They are fed. Huh? It's a very, very simple narrative. But it's said so many times a year, not to drill it into your mind, but for you to think about probing the richness of all Scripture. Because if this can be looked at in so many different ways and meditated upon in so many different ways, how about the rest? It just takes time. And this is why the Lord wants us all to pray. So, pray for those who aren't with us. Pray for those who are now working and helping outside, because this is a way in which we build the treasury of the church. And we need everybody to be a participant in this so that we may move to new and permanent quarters that will house us, where we will be our own debtors, not in debt to anyone else, but in debt to each other. And it's the kind of debt that we want to take on, because it's the debt of love. I'm always amazed when I see people bring things to the church. I remember at Archangel Michael Church, the small one that used to be, it had been a meeting hall for a Teamster group, and this was in Simi Valley. And Debona Shenuda had been getting from St. Athanasius the Orban, as we are getting our Orban from St. George, and it's a bad word I just used. He prayed for a set of machines that would allow them to make it, and that's exactly what he got. And if everyone here prays, I know that it will not be very long before we have a new home. And I'm with you in this 100%, whatever it is you wish to do. You have my blessing and you have my prayers. So God be with you all, and glory be to our God, both now and ever, and unto the age of all ages. Amen.